It's time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Friend, thank you so much for joining me today on the Vintage Truth Podcast. We're talking about something very, very important today. We're talking about the question of whether or not God is really enough for you and for me. Is he enough? Do we need other things in our lives to really give us what we really need? I want to talk about that here in just a couple of minutes. Before I do that, hey, I really want to challenge each of you who are listening to this podcast right now to consider being a monthly supporter of this ministry. And it's a very easy thing to do. For as little as $10 a month, you can make a contribution that goes towards helping this ministry continue. I am fastly running out of storage space online for this podcast, as this is podcast episode number 195. 195 times I've come to this microphone and given you God's vintage truth. And we're running out of space. And so we're going to have to purchase an upgraded program here to keep all these podcasts online. Now, theoretically, yes, I could go ahead and just erase the first 100 podcasts or whatever and free up all that space, but I don't want to do that. I want each of these episodes, because they're all different, to be available in a database and a backlog so that people can go and really just scroll through and say, hey, what am I interested in? What does God's word say about this subject or whatever? So I want to keep on keeping these things online, keeping them on iTunes so that we can continue to accumulate this body of work and these broadcasts. So all that to say is I'm running out of space. That's just one thing. And I've got to upgrade, which costs about $499 a year to do that on Podomatic, which is where I'm stored. And that would give me much, much greater storage space. Think of it like this. It's like you're renting this storage space, but your company is growing or whatever, and you need to get some more storage space. That's basically what this will do for me. It's one of the advantages. Anyway, all that to say is I would love for you to consider supporting this ministry just $10 a month or $20 or $50 or $100, whatever it is that God lays on your heart. But if this ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider being a monthly donor to this ministry. And by saying that, I want to give a incredible, grateful, heartfelt, thankful shout out to those who are supporting this ministry right now. You have no idea what it means to me when I get a notification in my email that says you've received a donation, and it comes on a certain day of the month, and I know who it is, and I just tell God, God, thank you. Thank you for people that get it. They really get it, and they support this ministry. And so thank you if you're already supporting this ministry. Please continue to pray and to support it however you can. We all need each other. I'm just one person, and I can't do this by myself. I need you. Okay, so that's my pitch for the day. Okay, let's get into this topic. Let's talk about, is God enough? Now, if we were honest with each other, and I was honest with you, there are times I confess to you, I'm disappointed. I'm dissatisfied with the state of things in terms of my relationship with God. And sometimes I'm not looking in the mirror and saying, hey, you're the man, you're the culprit. Sometimes I'm looking up at God saying, hey, what's going on here, man? I mean, why aren't you doing this? Or why aren't you giving me more of this? Or why aren't you providing more of this? And, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, in my weakness and my humanity, I am at times dissatisfied with God. I'll confess to you, there have been times when I've been deeply disappointed in God. And I've tried to sort of, in an introspective way, ask myself, why? And maybe you can identify with some of this. And I think part of it is that sometimes we fill our lives with the things that don't satisfy. In other words, we're not allowing God to fill up those empty spots. And some of them are not empty spots. Some of them are deep caverns in our hearts and our souls. We're not allowing God to fill up those things, but we're filling them up with things that only humanity can provide, or the world can provide, or society can provide. And it's like, have you ever been to like a deep well or something like that, and you throw a pebble down in there and you just kind of pause and listen to see when it's going to hit the bottom? And it takes a long time to hit and finally it does, and you go, whoa, that's deep. And then you think, well, gosh, how many pebbles would I have to throw in here to fill up this entire well? Well, that's what we're doing a lot of times with, we're taking things from the world and we're throwing them into the well of our hearts, and we're not being filled. We're not satisfied. And so one of the reasons why we're dissatisfied with God is because we're actually trying to satisfy ourselves with other things. They're substitutes, and not all of them are bad things. Some of them are bad things, but not all of them are bad. And yet we try to fill up our lives, and our stomachs are still growling, you know, for something more. And so those things are at best are just little appetizers in life. And so that's one reason. I think another reason why we're dissatisfied or disappointed with God at times, because we actually place unrealistic expectations on God. In other words, they're not just unrealistic expectations, they're actually unbiblical expectations. And one of the reasons for this is because we have bought into some of the lies that some of these false teachers have been propagating, that God basically exists. I mean, the sovereign God of the universe, he exists for your benefit. You are the point. And God is just a galactic genie. He is a celestial servant. He is your butler in the sky. And he's just here when you feel like you need something. You say, hey, God, I want this. And God just gives it to you. And my friend, I'm telling you something. There's nothing in the Bible even remotely close to that. That is a lie from hell. It is actually the lie from hell that Satan floated in the Garden of Eden that was successful. It's been successful ever since, when he basically said, hey, you want to be like God. That's your end game, man. You want to be like God. And when you're God, people serve you. And when you're God, God serves you. And so we have this kind of twisted idea in many Christian circles. Now watch this, that God is in my life to make me healthy, to make me wealthy, to make me happy, and to make life easy. Those are the four horsemen of the internal apocalypse of your life and of my life. And those are the temptations. We think that when we're not healthy, that somehow something's wrong with our lives. But guess what? That's been the experience of believers throughout history. I mean, we live in sinful bodies in a sinful world, and we're going to have health issues at times. That's just the way it is. Now, we can self-inflict those health issues by, you know, eating poorly and that type of thing. But for the most part, you know, when we suffer with our health, it's not this direct indication that we've not had enough faith in God. That's just not found in the Bible. Secondly, that God wants to make us wealthy. Now, if you live in America, you're already more wealthy than 3/4 of the entire world population. Okay? I mean, you're living like kings and queens. If you live in America, you have electricity, you have running water, you have indoor toilets, you have access to jobs, you have income, abilities, and opportunities that are available to you. You have 9 out of 10 people in America, it's probably higher than that now, have access to the internet. I mean, there's so many things that we have, but yet we think we need to be more wealthy somehow. Now, sometimes we place certain expectations on God that the Bible never tells us. You know, like when we say things, for example, like, well, the Lord will provide. How many times have you heard that? The Lord will provide. And we think that means that God's going to give us what we need at the time we think we need it. But I'll tell you something. That verse isn't in the Bible either. Because sometimes God may not provide for you the way that you think he should, because he wants to create something in you. He wants to do something inside you. We think that as long as God just keeps showing up on time and putting the check in the mail and doing everything, that he'll be the good God we think he is. But what if he's not? What if he doesn't do that for us? What kind of God is he now? And all of a sudden, we either change our theology about God and what we believe about him, or we learn how to trust him in a whole new way. No, my friend, it is not God's will for every believer to be wealthy. Nothing wrong with being wealthy, but there's nothing in the Bible that says that God owes us any level of income. Tell that to Indian Christians. Tell that to Pakistani Christians. Tell that to those little Pakistani boys who are working as slaves in the brick kilns in Pakistan. You know, tell that to Chinese Christians who are being refused a job because of their faith. You know, tell that to third world countries like the Philippines or to Mexico. Tell that to those believers. No. We trust God for everything we get, and He will provide what He believes we need to have in His own time. Now that might be a hard pill for you to swallow. Here's another lie. Our expectations. We think God exists to make us happy. I mean, really? I mean, isn't that the point of life? For us to be happy? I mean, doesn't God like us to be happy? You know, this is an entire, you know, we bought into to this Western idea of that we are owed this right to pursue happiness, because happiness is the greatest ideal. It's the greatest virtue to which we can achieve. And we think that if we're just happy, then all of life will be good, right? Well, it will be for you. But maybe God never promised you to be happy. I don't see any verses in the Bible where it says, I want you happy all the time. You think Paul was happy that he was in jail? You think Stephen was happy when they first started stoning him? I mean, do you think believers who have been persecuted and marginalized and martyred throughout history were happy? No, they weren't happy. How about people that went through years and years and years of persecution? What about reformers like Martin Luther had to go hide from the Pope for fear of his life being... These are not happy times, okay? See, happiness is an emotion. The Bible talks about joy. Joy is a state of mind that sometimes is accompanied by happiness and other times is accompanied just simply by a sense of contentment, of knowing you're going to be okay. That's what Paul says in Philippians. I've learned in all circumstances to be content. Content. He didn't say happy. He didn't say he was jumping up, clicking his heels together. So God doesn't always make us happy. Sometimes the things that God will lead you into are very unhappy circumstances, difficult circumstances, challenges. God doesn't always bring about this sense of emotion in us. And there are many things in our lives that work against that. Let me give you another one. If we think God is supposed to make our lives easy, that He's supposed to make our lives easy, and any time we run up against opposition or hardship, we come crashing down like a house of cards. Easy, really? I mean, have you read the New Testament? I mean, look at the believers, what they went through. Every single one of the 12 apostles, with the exception of John, died a martyr's death. I mean, Jesus Himself in John 16:33 said this. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." See, in the world, we're going to have tribulation. There are going to be hard times in our world, in our lives. Listen, when God asks you to do something for Him, it may be something very simple like just stand your ground. That's like climbing a huge mountain in today's culture. And being a Christian today cannot in any way be described as easy, if you're really being a Christian, because we are swimming upstream, we're cutting across the grain, the current, the wind is against us, and culture is like a giant wave, and we're trying to swim against it, and culture is like this riptide, and many Christians are caught up in it. There is nothing easy about living the Christian life in today's society. Now, sometimes we let our guards down. We go to church, or we're with Christian and fellowships and our friends and that kind of thing, and it just seems like there's, you know, not much of an effort going on, right? But when you get out there in the world, that's when it becomes hard. It's hard to be a Christian teenager today in your school. It's hard to be a Christian businessman or businesswoman, college student, entrepreneur. How about minister? It's hard to be a minister today. I mean, pastors who are standing for the word, and Christians in the social media marketplace are being attacked for their faith. No, my friend, it's not easy. So when life is hard, which it often is, we look up to God and we say, God, why? And there is a sense in that why, not just of, hey, I just kind of like to know why. No, there's a sense of dissatisfaction going on there. God, you did not meet my expectations for this day or for this month or for this life that I'm living. Things are not going according to my plan. And my friend, I've been there. And quite frankly, in the task that God has called me to do, and being one man trying to make a difference in this world through my books, through my speaking, through this podcast, it is not easy. I am not living on easy street. This is the most difficult thing I've ever done in my entire life, which is another reason why I need brothers and sisters to come alongside me. But the temptation is to look to heaven sometimes and just go, couldn't you just make it a little easier for this to happen? I mean, come on. It looks so easy for some people, and they don't even need to be in the positions that they're in. How about getting a voice out there that's really telling the truth, God? And so, yeah, I have my complaining moments with God like we all do. But those unrealistic expectations that God wants us healthy, wealthy, happy, and a life that is easy, that's just not in the Bible, my friend. It's just not there. Not there. So let's ask this question. How can God satisfy? How does he naturally satisfy? You know, it was John Piper who said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Psalm 37 verse 4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And you know what? We just completely cut out that first part and we run to the desires of your heart. That's satisfaction. That's expectations being met. Oh God, if I'll just do this little bitty tiny thing that doesn't require anything from me, then you're going to give me the desires of my heart. I can't wait for that. Give me those desires, God. And God says, wait a minute. Would you go back and read the first part of that verse? Delight yourself in me. What does that mean? What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? It means to find your ultimate satisfaction and soul pleasure in the person of God. And my friend, we just stepped off into the deep end of that cavern just now. We just threw a pebble thought down into that deep well by saying those words. To find your ultimate satisfaction in God, to find your ultimate sense of soul pleasure, your fulfillment, your significance, your everything, to find that in the person of God, not the works of God, not the deeds of God, not in the benefits of being a Christian, but just in who he is. Have you ever thought about that? God, I love you and I delight myself in you. If I spend the next 40 years of my life in a jail cell suffering for the gospel. Lord, if I am kidnapped by terrorists and tortured for my faith for the next 10 years, I will find my delight in you still. God, even if I don't get what I pray for, I'm going to delight myself in you. Lord, even when I don't have my needs met the way that I want them to be met, and much less my wants or my desires, I will still delight myself in you. I will gain the pleasure of my heart from knowing you, period. That's what I want for my life, God. And that's what it means to delight yourself in the Lord. It's daily, and we're going to talk more about this in the next podcast, but it's daily seeking God in such a way that tells him he is all you need. Did you get that? Seeking God in such a way that tells him he is all that you need. You say, Jeff, you know, just between me and you, I'm not there yet. Hey, guess what? Neither am I. I still daily have to tell myself to seek my ultimate fulfillment and pleasure and goals and desires and joy and expectations in God. I still have to do that every day. Next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast, we're going to talk about what are some of the ways that God does satisfy us when we delight ourselves in Him. That's what I'm going to talk about next time. Episode 196 coming your way. Hey, if you can support this podcast, please do it. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.